Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
Your Network of Praise on our Day of Hope for Friendraiser 2019. Always look forward to this day when we can spend some extended time in front of the mic and bring some special guests to the microphone to join in conversation for the enjoyment of our audience and just to kind of hear what God is doing in various lives, various testimonies. And I am speaking right now with somebody who is part of the incredible band Seventh Time Down. They come out of Kentucky, and they were first catapulted into the spot with Just Say Jesus, which was the hit title cut from their 2013 sophomore set, which spent a total of 52 consecutive weeks on Christian radio charts. And in addition, the band's multi-week number one, which is our theme this year, God is on the Move, was one of 2016's most played singles at Christian radio, according to Billboard. The band is comprised of lead vocalist Mikey Howard, drummer Austin Miller, and bassist Cliff Williams. And Seventh Time Down has shared the stage with such artists as Newsboys for King and Country, Matthew West, among others. And we are getting to talk with the lead vocalist Mikey Howard this morning. How are you, Mikey?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. Listen, I don't think anybody's ever introduced me so nicely before.
Well, I try to get the facts right because I want people to understand God has really called you guys to something amazing, to be in Christian music and to be sharing not only just songs that are produced so well, but the message, of course, is what's at the heart of what you guys do. And so we are just so thrilled to get this opportunity to talk with you. So thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
No, listen, I'm excited. I've got a snow day happening in Kentucky today. My daughters are upstairs making chocolate chip pancakes. So,
oh, that sounds like a great, great day.
It's a great day.
Can they ship some of those pancakes to our studios? We would love to partake.
Listen, I'm sure they could. They figure it out. I got smart kids.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, let's first of all, I want to talk about super exciting news, and then we're going to get into, I'd like to hear a little bit more of the story behind God is on the Move. But you guys just had an album drop on March 1st. Congratulations on another album. Tell us about that.
Thank you. Yeah, this is our fourth full-length release on BEC Recordings, I believe. I've been doing this for a long time. We signed a record deal, I think, pretty much the same year my wife and I got married. It was like 11 years ago, so... Yeah, we've been at it for a while. We started writing these songs for the record Brand New Day about a year and a half ago. We were on tour with the Newsboys, actually, doing a tour called Big Church Night Out. Mm. And so we just took like a little mobile studio rig with us everywhere we went and started doing these demos and songwriting sessions in hotel rooms and backstage hallways and dressing rooms and all that. And in the midst of that, we ended up flying out to L.A. and recording and writing a couple songs with a friend and producer in L.A. And that really kind of cast the vision and kind of set the tone for the rest of the songs and the record from there on out. And it's just a big transitional phase for our band. We our guitar player, Eric, who's been with us since me and I was 12 years old, we started praying through it some years ago about God leading him. He felt like God was leading him in a different direction with his ministry and his music. And, you know, that all kind of came to a head on the Big Church Out tour. He's like, listen, I really think, you know, the Lord's like, you know, calling me on to do something else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were affirming what God was doing in his life. But at the same time, it's like, Eric, no, don't leave.
I know, right?
And, because, I mean, he was a big part of our sound. And, you know, we wrote music together for years, you know. Yeah. And then now he's gone and we're making a new record. And we got to figure out, man, well, not only does God have a certain thing he wants us to say during this time and this culture and this, you know, this time in our lives, but what do we sound like now, you know, because he's, you know, Eric's gone, he's leaving. So, you know, we really just, the three of us put our heads together and just really, you know, went back through why we started, you know, what our influences were and just started diving in to the music probably more deeply than we ever had. You know, came out the other side just seeing how faithful God was, and he gave us a new sound and a new song and new message. And, you know, we're excited to share it with everybody with this album, Brand New Day. We hope they enjoy it. It's been a labor of love for sure.
Yeah, and it's amazing to hear how you guys kind of chipped away at this as you're on the road, and technology has so changed over the last few years to be able to make that happen, because before you had to save all that for the studio, and it's amazing that you can work on it. And I'm wondering if, you know, on the road, if, you know, I would guess that God was giving you snippets of messages and lyrics through things you guys were experiencing on the road to help craft this. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, and honestly, it's really like the most authentic place to make an album, if you think about it, because, okay, so before, like you were saying, when you have to save it all for the studio, you know, you go through these moments in life, and then you try to write it down or not forget it, mm-hmm. and then you get into the studio, and then you're remembering how you felt weeks ago or months ago, and then you're trying to write a song based on feelings that you haven't felt in months.
Good point.
And this way, you know, on the road, whatever I was feeling, we literally had this case that had a, you know, little headphones and microphones and recording equipment, and, you know, whatever I was feeling that day, I didn't have to wait. Like, I didn't have to write it down. I didn't have to jot it down. It was literally recording it and writing it and creating it as I was feeling it. So it was a really, fun way to make a record. And, mm-hmm. you know, we would go back in the studio sometimes and fine tune things when we would get home. But honestly, most of that was done at my house even, you know, so I don't know. It just felt like a really, I think my manager, he said, man, I feel like this is like the most like honest, authentic record that you've done. And it felt really good to hear that, because I felt the same, you know.
Yeah. Authentic was the word that was coming to me too as you were describing that process, because that makes sense. Songwriters, do they always depend on emotions, which would make sense to me, because it's usually when you feel something deeply, when it captures your heart, that you want to put that into a song, either for yourself or for others or for both. Is that a huge part of the songwriting process?
Yeah, for me it is. You know, I don't think I can speak for most songwriters. I can speak for me and my friends and how we do it. And yeah, I mean, experience and how you felt going through the experiences and you know, victories and defeats and failures and, you know, mm-hmm. just all those things that we experience as, you know, for me, being a husband and a dad and a guy in a band and a guy who's following Jesus and trying to navigate all these different, you know, like I say, good feelings and hurt feelings mm-hmm. and, you know, navigate all that stuff, you know. Yeah, I mean, that is the record, you know. It's three guys who, you know, have tried to pin their life down, you know, write it all down and try to express what it is we're going through. You know, I mean, we're artists at the end of the day, so
sure.
I'm not the greatest at conversation. You know, my wife's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I don't know, but I can sing a song about it. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So this new album, Brand New Day, that just came out March 1st, if you could surmise the theme or what you hope people will get out of it, is there kind of a main transaction you're hoping they're going to have with the Lord in this as they listen?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's something it was fresh to me, but at the same time, it's like as old as dirt, as my dad would say. It's honestly stolen from Eugene Peterson, his son. I read a quote that, you know, talking about his dad was, you know, he wrote all these books and did all these sermons, and he was a great guy, and he led a lot of people to the Lord. But through all the sermons and through all the books and all the working, you know, he kind of summed it up in one little short mini sermon, and that was that God loves us, God's pursuing us, and he's relentless in his pursuit of our heart. And to me, man, when I heard that, it's like, yeah, that's our record, man. That's what I want people to know. That's our new song, the 99. You know, it talks about the one who leaves, you know. And what I found is that happens when we're hurt. You know, times I've hurt people and times I've been hurt, you know, you stray, you wander. You know, it causes you to turn direction in your life, you know, when you get hurt. And that's, man, that's that message, you know, that in the middle of your hurt and struggle and chaos, you know, Jesus is still good, and he is on your tail, son. He is pursuing you, you know, and he ain't giving up. So that's it, man. That's the message.
I love that. I enjoy how you phrase that. I guess I hadn't thought about that before, but it's so true that hurt leads us to detours, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, in my own life, for sure. I mean, you could be going down this path or, you know, and could very well be God's will for your life. You know, you're on this path and then, you know, you get hurt or you hurt somebody or something happens and, you know, you take this detour and, you know, God's like, I just picture him like trying his best to like get our attention, you know, like, hey, I'm right here. You know, just turn around and let's make this right, you know.
Yeah, I also love a sentence that you say, Mikey, in some press information I got about this album. You had a quote that it's about having confidence God will accomplish this type of rescue. Man, I think we all need to know that. As you said, God just doesn't save us once. He saves us again and again. He's constantly after us. And what stability that provides the human heart to know that as many times, even in a day, that one person might even just emotionally just stray from you a little bit, God never will. That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of feel like, I've said this before, you know, if I was kind of leaning over this cliff or whatever you want to call it, precipice, I guess, is a nicer way to put it, but if you're leaning over, you know, I'm fully relied on God that I'm not going to fall. Mm. You know, like, almost like he had, you know how, like, if you have a little kid, like my little girl, they'll want me to hold one hand and they'll lean really far away from me. Mm-hmm. And really the only thing that's keeping them from falling and busting their noggin is me holding onto that one hand.
Right.
You know, and I kind of feel that way in my life over the years. You know, it's like I'm leaning over this cliff, and if the Lord ever let go, buddy, I'm done. I'm in trouble. Because, you know, the only thing good in me is like him and his pursuit of me. Yep. And that's what has brought freedom in my life and allowed me to like reframe, you know, sin and all the junk that's in my life and put it in its proper place. You know, that God has like pursued me and won me over, you know, in the midst of all that junk.
You know, my heart is just so stirred, Mikey, by what you're sharing, because so many people need to know. And I think so many Christians actually need to rediscover the profound anthem of the love of God over our lives, because everything else comes after that. If you don't have that foundation, the rest is just theological talk. But to understand the love of God is the base, and we get to build and go into further glory from there. Come on, that's good stuff.
Yeah, amen, girl. That's what it's all about. I mean, I think that's the only thing that's going to win lost people. It sure is not going to be your theological background and knowledge. I mean, they'll dismiss that as quick as anything. You know, it's our response to the love of Christ in the darkest moments of our life, like the cancers, the missed mortgage payments, the lost jobs, the brink of divorce. Like, it's our response to God's love in those crucial, dark moments.
Yeah.
Like, however we respond to the gospel, like in those moments, the lost people are going to see that. And to me, that determines whether they're going to make a choice to follow Jesus or not. It's got nothing to do with your theology. You know, it has everything to do with him actively working in your life in the bad times.
Yeah. Because
nobody thinks they need God in the good times, right?
Right.
Like, you know, lost people, you know, they got it figured out in the good times. It's in the bad times that they're looking around and they're seeing how you and I, people who love Jesus, how do we respond to that chaos, you know? And that's the appealing thing about following Jesus, you know, is we all, and the relatable thing, we all go through the same junk. You know, you and I are immune to sin and death and all these things that happen in life. You know, we're not immune to it. It's just the way we respond to it is it's different than the world. We have Jesus responding through us.
So good. You know, I think about the fact that millennials and probably the last couple of generations, I know it's been said that they are so hungry for real. And the word that we used earlier, authentic, I guess now after this conversation, I would add to that, I think they're hungry for stability. I think we all are. The world is so turbulent on a macro level. And then on a micro level, just so much abuse, neglect, rejection, hardship, identity crisis going on. I mean, there's so many things that come into our lives and messages of all kinds of falsehood and perversion. Just staring us down in the face every single day, but to have that steady, quiet, and yet at a holy roar, love from the Father's heart, proclaiming his identity over you is what brings the calm, I think, in the storm of the world we live in.
Yeah, I call it, and I've heard it before, most anything I say, I've heard it from pastors or preachers or influencers. It's not any new thought, you know, of mine. It's just something that I've recognized as truth and, you know, adopted that into my life. But I would call it the third way. And we live in a time where the world is so polarized. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And they force you to pick a side.
Yep.
And you have to pick one way or the other way. And for me and my band, you know, we on our new record, we have a song called I Have Decided. And it's not about choosing, you know, one way or another. I'll even go as far as to say left or right. It's about the third way. It's about Jesus's way. You know, it doesn't look like either of our ways. You know, it's always this other way. And I think you're right. I think he's like, you know, in his like holy roar of a way, it is just pleading for us. Like, hey, like open your eyes and like look at this new, this way. Yeah. You know, it's new, but it's old as time. You know, like it's true. It's true, right? Like there's no new truth. And that to me is like, that's where I have to live. I got to live in that third way, you know, because if not, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Our pastor talks often about the dangers of how I don't think we even realize we're doing it, but we make God in our image instead of the other way around. And you're right. It's Jesus is the only thing that we shouldn't stray from left or right, but the rest of that is just stuff that has to be worked out in life. But yes, we are so polarized, and I can't even imagine the pain that brings to heaven's heart when he called us to be known by our love and by our unity. I mean, that's the true trademarks of disciples. So,
we want to be known by our theology and by our smarts and by our choices and, you know, by all these other things. And, you know, our identity is supposed to be in Christ alone.
Yes.
And, man, and the only reason I can say that now is Christ in me. You know what I mean? It's not like something I just magically figured out on my own. Like I say, Christ's the only thing good in me. You know, I'm a rotten mess without him. You know, truly a rotten mess, but he's good.
Yeah, he is. The beauty he can bring from us is just, I don't know how he does it. It's a pretty special thing that he redeems and restores, and then to get to live that way, to share with others that same hope is a pretty cool thing. Well, let's talk about the theme that we have chosen for this entire year for our radio network covering a 5-state region. We just have wanted to proclaim this literally over the land. And so we have picked your song, God is on the Move. Would love to hear the story behind that.
Yeah, I mean, so we wrote the song. Literally, we got off an airplane. We were in the Dominican Republic visiting these little kids that we advocate for at our concerts. So one of them named Sori Annie. She's a girl that my family and I, we sponsor. We give her and her family money like every month, and I got to go visit her. And another little girl, Rosara, lives in the same village. Cliff, our bass player, him and his family, they sponsor them. And so we get off the airplane after visiting them, and we go straight into a songwriting session. And God is on the Move is what came out. And it really came from a moment of, like, just seeing these people, like, in despair, like, poverty like I'd never experienced before. You know, circumstances that just were so foreign to me, you know, that I couldn't even grasp it. You know, the living situation. And you could talk about Jesus, and then smiles come on their face. You know what I mean? Like, there was still joy in the midst of this, and just seeing God moving that far away from home in the same ways that he moves here, you know, like I don't know, it was like the common thread that we could get on, you know, and we couldn't speak each other's language or anything, but it, you know, all of a sudden we could connect, you know, in a deeper way, and just see God moving there. Fast forward after we wrote the song and it started to to gain some traction and people started to hear it. We went and did a couple of revivals over in the Philippines. Hmm. And we've always just been we love doing missions work, and as a band, we love advocating for kids and trying to get kids to help. I mean, that's our job, and we want to use our platform to, like, serve the least of these, you know, and help out however we can. And so we're in the Philippines, and we're, like, had the opportunity to feed, like, 1,500 kids just in the slums of the slums of the slums. Like, again, like, it, just horrible poverty. And again, you know, doing that in Jesus' name, you know, and seeing their eyes light up, you know, and having an opportunity to go into this little, it was like a shack, like, it's probably as big as, like, my area rug, you know, that's like 5x7 here that I'm sitting on right now. And that was, like, their home, and the walls were, like, chicken wire and cardboard and chicken wire. Like, that was kind of the deal there. Wow. And they're explaining that this little girl had some kind of heart defect, and they couldn't get her to the doctor, and she was struggling. And she was the same age as my oldest daughter. And so I go in, and I'm able to pray over this kid, you know, in the most poverty-stricken area of the world I've ever walked into. And I'm able to pray over this kid, and they invite me into their home, and we speak in the name of Jesus over this kid. And, you know, I just seeing God move in those moments, I mean, boy, it just brought that song to life. And we did a revival that night in the Philippines. We saw almost 7,000 Filipino people come to trust Jesus while we're singing, man, God is on the move. While we're singing the song, God is on the move. And, you know, just seeing God move like that. I mean, you picked a good song, and it's got nothing to do with me. That's the beauty of it. You know, I was just lucky to be in the room when the Lord, like, gave that song. You know, that's really how I feel. You know, we always pray, God, what do you want us to say during this time? And that was no different that day. God, what do you want us to say? And you know, evidently he wanted people to know he was still moving and shaking and healing and redeeming and restoring and all that, you know. So it's just been an amazing thing to be a small part of. It's been awesome.
Oh, that's so amazing. So I'm curious, because I've heard preachers talk about the fact that sometimes they get tested on their own messages, and I'm curious if for you as a band, if there was a season, what, maybe before, during, or after this song really came into some strong light, that the enemy tried to challenge you, making you think that God wasn't on the move, that he was silent on something or holding out on you or something, you know, because that seems to so often be the course.
Yeah, I was really mad at myself this past fall for writing the song God is on the Move and Just See Jesus, because the rubber, like, met the road, you know, like, I had to decide if I really believed what I've been singing all these years. My wife and I went through a miscarriage last year, and I, to not be too sad, I'll let you know, like, we're pregnant again, and we're expecting a third baby girl in August, and God's redeeming and healing and restoring like he does in his awesome way. But yeah, we, you know, we thought we were having our third child, and I was on the road with the Rhett Walker Band and another band, OBB, that's who it was. And I got a call. I hadn't even told my bandmates yet that we were pregnant. And I was getting ready to tell them, like, we were getting close to the, you know, second trimester, and we were, like, ready to tell people. And my wife calls me, and she's, like, in a panic, you know, at, like, 6 a.m. I'm like, what's going on? And she said, something's wrong. And I immediately knew what she meant. And she said, I'm going to the doctor. Like, I think I'm losing this baby. And sure enough, man, like, you know, we were just blindsided. We never went through anything like that. We had friends that had walked through it, but we didn't understand, you know, what that meant. We didn't understand the questions that would go unanswered. We didn't understand the no closure on it, you know, like, we didn't get it, you know. And, man, walking through it, I remember I told my wife, I was like, I can come home. And she said, no, you need to stay and do your job. And, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to do my job. You know, like, I don't think I can do my job tonight. And so I go during sound check and I tell the guys, you know, like, hey, I could barely talk, and they knew something was wrong, but I just told them, you know, I was excited to tell you that we were going to have a baby, but, you know, I just found out we lost a baby. And man, my friends, my brothers, they gathered around me on stage and they put their hands on me and they're praying over me and my wife and my two daughters that we have. And man, I was just so heartbroken and just did not want to get up on stage that night. And I just remember the Lord just asking me, like he does, you know, in his mysterious way, he has said, do you trust me? And I had to decide, like, man, do I really trust him? Can I really put this in his hands, you know, and trust that I'm going to come out the other side,
right,
you know, knowing that he has my best interest, you know, in his mind and his heart. And you know, miscarriage is an interesting thing. Like, you don't really get closure. You never really know why, you know, there's no funeral, you know, it's an interesting thing. But yeah, those were moments where I definitely questioned, you know, like, how could God be moving in such tragedy, you know? And just sharing that story from stage during that tour, I mean, I actually, you know, through Christ, I had the strength to, like, share that from stage every night on that tour. And just seeing, like, other people's healing come from it, too. You know, there was a lady, like, stood up in the middle of the show while I was telling the story, and she was like, that happened to me, too. And, you know, God got me through it, and, you know, can I pray for your wife right now? And it's like, you know, in front of, you know, 600 people, she's, like, standing up and saying this. And, you know, we stopped the show probably 3 or 4 times on that tour, and just people just flooded the altar, like, just praying for healing and closure and all this stuff, you know. And we say that from stage, you know, like, hey, we'll stop the show if you want to know Jesus, just come down here. Sure enough, man, like, on that tour, people took us up on it. Like, they were running to the altar.
Wow.
And it was cool that, you know, God still, in the midst of my, like, brokenness and really just anger and questions and hurt and all that, like, he's still moving, man. He's still good, and he's still sovereign and redeeming people through my story. And so, yeah, I mean, that's about as real as I can be with you on that.
No, I appreciate that. First of all, just we love you and so sorry that you and your wife have experienced that. Grateful for the redemption as well. Grateful that he's brought so many healing stories to other people's journeys through your own. And Mike, I'm just so excited for people to get a hold of your latest album that just came out, Brand New Day. And I just pray that will be kind of prophetic for you and your band, that going through losing your guitar player recently and kind of the identity crisis that creates, that God will call you into new identity, though, that he'll show you what this new season is about. And through this album, may so many people, as well as you guys, just be re-energized and empowered on a whole new level to stand up in this generation. So, man, we appreciate what you guys go through. This is not glamorous work, but it comes from the heart. It's very obvious through just some of the things that you've shared with us this morning. We're just so, so grateful. Thank you for being so genuine. And may God just bless you guys and go before you and hem you in from behind for the rest of this year as your music continues to touch thousands of lives.
We're going to have some church here this morning.
I'm always up for that.
That's awesome. Listen, thank you so much. I received those prayers. And yeah, I believe you. I mean, I have to believe it, you know, that it's God's, he's up to whatever he's doing, man, with this record and music.
Yes.
And yeah, it's a different sound. And, you know, you can see people who, you know, listened to the record, you know, 10, 11 years ago. You know, we were a pretty heavy rock band back then. And, you know, you get some of those people, you know, they're like, hey, why the change in sound, you know? And it's like, well, it's just different people, man. Like, different, we're different people. It's been 10 years ago. Like, we're not the same people, I'm not angry anymore, first off. You know, it's hard to write, like, heavy rock songs when you're not mad about something.
Right.
You know, got nothing to be mad about. So.
That's too cute. That's so honest. Yeah. I love that. I love that. That's great. Oh,
like
my friend.
Too. If I was to play heavy metal music now, they'd be crying.
Oh, I love that. It's been such a joy to talk to you and to make a new friend out of a brother in Christ. And oh, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time. And again, God bless you guys more than you could even possibly comprehend.
Thank you so much. And listen, thanks for using our song, Guys on the Move. I hope it blows people's socks off this year. That's awesome.
Yeah, I really believe there's a fresh wind of the Spirit on this. That, you know, stuff that's truth is always truth. God will always use it. So age doesn't matter. It's just, man, God is fresh in these lyrics. I'm telling you, it's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go see these little girls up here.
Sounds good. Thanks. Enjoy those pancakes.
I will. See you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.